Go ahead, we're now recording.
Thank you very much, Ricardo. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Securities Working Group call on the 24th of September 2013. On the call today, we have Mikey O'Connor, Steve Metalitz, Roy Balest, Chris George, Mark Anderson, Avi Doyer, Tim Lees, and Callan Hoover. We have apologies from Suzanne Prosser, Frederic Guillemot, and Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Glenn Sengeri, Marika Kearney, Barry Cobb, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Natalie Pogan. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Natalie. Sorry about the confusion. And welcome, everybody. We'll take our usual short stop to take a look at the agenda, which is pretty short. I think we're mostly going to focus in on this proposal and see if we can get to something that works. This is also the time to let you know, to let people tell us about changes in their statements of interest. So I'll just take a pause and see if there are any issues there. Okay. Well, the screen is my screen. This is a session where I think our primary agenda is to really work through this proposal, see if we can find a place where we can meet in the middle. It's too bad we're missing a couple of people. Alan has his monthly ALAC meeting, so we have apologies from him. And as I mentioned before the recording, I think we may also have apologies from Don Blumenthal, because I think he may be flying to him today. So with that, what you see on the screen is a version that there's my original. Steve revised it a bit, and then I revised it a bit as well. And unfortunately, I think it's my version of Word turned everything into author. So you can't tell which ones are mine and which ones are Steve's. So the smart ones are Steve's and the dumb ones are mine. But let's just go through them one by one and see if we can get to a place that that works, and if we can, we'll get the glass, and if we can't, we'll figure out what we do from here. The first one is, let me do one more little bit of background. There's sections of the report that we're talking about. Section 7.1, which is where our single recommendation presents. That recommendation is to move to Thick Who Is. And 7.3, which is essentially a section that we created for observations that we wanted to pass along but fell somewhat outside of either our scope or capability. First two are really aiming at expanding our formal recommendation to include and the request for an independent legal review to be undertaken as part of the implementation of the transition to Thick Who Is on the privacy implications of a transfer of registrant data between jurisdictions. And I think I'll lump one and two together because they sort of belong together. The second one is that we essentially change just the sequence of the report. The paragraph that's there, page 30, and the original recommendation was to just move that down one section in the report so that it is a conclusion part, which is the privacy and data protection part. And then there's some language in terms of the sequencing that we need to work through. Those are the two, essentially what I've been calling, in shorthand, big R recommendation changes. And I think I'll stop there. We can we can certainly move around. I don't want to box anybody in, but it seems like a reasonable spot to stop the conversation, maybe take a cue. I'll note, Avery, I think it's your mic that may be unmuted. I can hear you type. The microphone is like mine. It's super sensitive, so you may want to mute it when you're not talking. Where are people at? What do we think? Are we close? Horribly far apart? Are there issues that we can try to address by changing this language somehow? Don't all speak at once. I know this is hard, but I think it's worthy work, and I think it's, if we can get through it, it would be very, very helpful. So, Tim, go ahead. Thanks.
I was just going to point out that I think Steve is having some problems. So he's trying to phone in, and then looks like Amar is just now dialing in. It looks like he might have just joined. So we might want to just kind of maybe back up a little bit and go through that again. Because I think they both might want to comment on it. So.
Yeah. Probably a safe bet. Steve is typing. We'll see what's going on. Yeah, Steve, can you hear us? Or presumably you can hear us jabbering away even though you can't speak yet.
Yeah, he's waiting for coordinator.
Yeah, okay, so he can at least hear. Amr, are you on the call? Can you speak or not? Seems like he's in the same boat. Yeah. See, Natalie, I think this is the problem that we ran into yesterday on the IRTP call as well, that they may not even be presented the option to use their mic. This, I think, is related to that change that happened that we were talking about before the call started. Maybe while they're dialing in, it sounds like they sort of beef up the number and then they let them slide off as the hour drifts by. Natalie, you and I can just hang on the call. Yeah, go ahead.
This is Tim Ruiz. See, I just thought I would just comment on it myself, and I'm trying to be flexible about it. So I'm good probably with either of the versions that I've seen here. And I've made a lot of comments supporting, the privacy concerns, and I do feel that way. However, I just want to make it clear that I'm a lot more flexible probably about what goes into the report and still supporting it. And I think my goal would be, just if we could find a compromise that everybody could support so that we could just have the report and not a minority view. I'm not sure that's going to be possible at this point, but I hope so. So I'm flexible about what's put in here, even though I've given strong support about the privacy concerns. I just want to make that clear.
Thanks, Tim. And I think that that's where I'm at as well. I think I said in my last little comment, if we can move the ball forward on thick whois and on privacy, I think that's a good thing. So I'm sort of in the same spot. Okay, so Amr's on. Steve, are you in the bridge yet?
Yes, I am. Thank you. Sorry.
Let me see if we... Oh, hooray. No worries. I've got geek questions about all that, but we won't soak up any more of the call on that. So presumably you all, Amr and Steve, did you hear the prelude to this, or should I run through that again? I'm happy to run through it again if you missed my lead-in.
No, this is Steve. I heard it.
Okay. Amr's typing. Let's see what Amr's got to say. Yeah, it sounds like Amr wasn't quite there. So let me just zip through this again. Basically, what's on the screen is my screen. I stand here as your scribe, ready to type things in, change things, whatever. The goal, and I think Tim put it pretty well, is that I, like Tim, am pretty flexible. I'd really like today to get to something that we could all agree to. I think it's always better, especially in a consensus situation, to have full consent to get there, and I'm willing to give it a try. And the other distinction that I made is that Parts 1 and 2, suggestions 1 and 2, are aimed at Section 7.1 of our report, which is our recommendation. And Part 3 of this little thing is aimed at Section 7.3, which is a section that we created as a way to put stuff that we felt fell either outside of our scope or outside of competence or both, but that we felt were good ideas. And so that's the distinction on that. The draft that you're looking at is the one that Steve sent round, and then I modified ever so slightly, and unfortunately I think it's my version of Word did this business where it converted everything to author. I'm going to know what happened there. So somewhat lightheartedly, I'm saying all the good ideas are Steve's and all the bad ideas are mine. And it's the stage setting that we did. And with that, I sort of turned it over to the groups. Tim sort of went first, and you heard his comment. And Aubrey's in the queue. Let's go to work. Aubrey, go ahead. Oh, you may be muted now.
Thank you.
Now you're
this is Aubrey speaking.
You go.
Army now. Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, it took me a while to unmute myself. This is Aubrey speaking. I had double muted myself. Okay. So as the one that probably stands out as one of the least flexible on this up front. I think even my colleagues in NCSG tend to be more moderate on this than I am. I find Thick Who Is in itself an unfortunate attack on privacy and local law. However, I have also come to accept that that's a ship that is probably sailing and such. But with regard to this particular transition, where there still are most registrants, who still have certain rights, I only agree to a Thick Who Is change if there is the same regard for privacy that there is for security and tracking the bad guys down. Now, since we weren't able to add any privacy considerations to Who Is to compensate for the fact that all of these registrants, most of the registrants in the Internet, were going to lose a certain degree of rights, and I know that it has been very difficult to prove the cases, and yet the law I've seen from international covenants of privacy and their extension to Internet rights, that those rights exist and that those rights are real. And, you know, we'll see if and when they get to court. So unless there is an equal respect and concern for privacy as security, which to me translates as an unambiguous I'm not comfortable with this. However, I've sort of been one of the lighter participants from the NCSG delegation, so I will acquiesce to what may seem like a lesser degree of equal protection for privacy if others. So I'm willing to show some flexibility, but I really would like to make it quite clear that I see
Thick
Who
terrible.
is, doesn't really matter. To me, it is, there are registrants' rights that are international and local and national, and that we lose that when we switch to thick who is. So in essence, I'm against a switch to thick who is without equal protection for privacy. Thank you.
Thanks, Ivory. And you can see in the chat that, you know, this is another thing, a geek thing, but it's clearly a big problem. And that this happened on the IRTP call as well, is that I think when people are speaking just a little bit louder, a little bit more emphatically, they cut out. And unfortunately, what that means is that usually right when they get to the good part of their talk, it drops off. And so, again, this happened with Avery's talk, and we're going to have to check to make sure that we captured the whole. Avery, you can recreate that, because we got most of it, but we didn't get all of it. And it's very frustrating, especially on a policy call like this, especially a critical call like this. That one's much worse.
Does that help?
First, unfortunately.
Okay.
It might. I don't know. Sorry about that. Anyway, I think I've got the gist of it, and yeah, we do. And if we don't get there towards the end, Aubrey, I give you sort of a special ticket to come in and take a last second bite at the apple on this, because it's pretty rugged. Steve, go ahead. You're next.
Thanks. This is Steve. I'm not responding here to what Aubrey said, which was sort of a general statement, but I'm really looking at the text that's on the screen. And I think, by the way, that at least for the comments, some of this is color-coded on my screen anyway. But in any case, my first question about the first point was to ask the drafters or supporters of this to explain a little more what they mean by an independent legal review. I note in item 2, which is kind of the basis for this, according to the text in front of us, it talks about these questions must be explored in more depth by ICANN staff, I'm leaving out the timing issue here, starting with the General Counsel's office and by the community. So does that constitute an independent legal review that it's proposed that we recommend, or what is meant by that? I guess I'm directing that.
This is Mikey, and I was the... Yeah, I think that what's going on with that difference in the language is that, excuse Volker, no, I'm going to have Volker. I think Volker is the one that came up with the language in part one, and I'm the one that just stapled in the language in part two. I think that, and the language in part two was discussed in quite a bit of detail by the group several times. So I would take as a friendly amendment, and I think Volker would too, just picking up that phrase and sticking it in to replace independent. Let me tend to that and see how it reads. Hold on a minute. If we just took this. Here, copy it in. Oh, wrong place. Hold on. Let's just see. I'll take this here and say it's going after the undertaking. there's a rough cut. And then what we would do in that instance, delete independent. I think that there may be grammatical things that need to be fixed, but I think that captures the sense of where Volcker was coming from, because I know Volcker was pretty engaged in the discussion when we were working on the actual draft. So that's a tentative first try. How does that work, Steve?
I think that's a helpful clarification. I think you've kind of subsumed two issues there. One is what's independent, and second is should this be in connection with implementation, which is certainly my view, but I'm not sure it's unanimous. I think that I find that helpful.
Okay. As long as you're in the queue and nobody else... Oh, Marika's in. Let me finish, Marika, and then I'll circle back to you. Let's beat on the... You know, one of the contentious issues in the discussion on the list was the original language, which was before the transition to SICWHOIS, as opposed to your change to as part of the implementation to the CUIDS. Could you give me I'm sort of putting you on the spot, if you don't want to comment, you don't have to, but describe to me how it would be horrible if they did the legal review before. I was having a hard time figuring out the sequence. They went ahead and did the transition, but then did the legal review afterwards. That seemed odd to me. I couldn't quite get my arms around that. So if you could, that one, that would be helpful for me.
This is Steve. Is that directed to me?
Yes. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I think, look, one of the concerns that I have, and I think Alan has expressed it very well in the his posting last night, is that this is a delaying factor, and I still don't understand why we're putting, we're supposed to be recommending consensus policy here, and now we also have a recommendation for a legal review, and I don't know whether that means that's consensus policy or what, but I guess I want to rule out the scenario in which this consensus policy is adopted, and then the thing is sent out for a legal review somewhere that could take months or years. We actually have discussed these issues in some detail, and we I believe succeeded in separating the overall privacy WHOIS issue, which I agree needs attention, from the issues related to the transition to THIC, where we did not find issues that needed to be addressed prior to adopting this consensus policy. So I am concerned about the potential delay on an issue that we found should not be a reason for delaying. I mean, we say that in our report. So that was the reason for my suggestion that we talk, if there is going to be a legal review, and again, I don't see why this recommendation is in 7.1, but if there is going to be a legal review, it should be in connection with implementation.
Thanks, Steve. Let me use this. Go ahead. I thought I heard Steve speak again. There's a lot of latency between the people on the phone and the people coming through the Adobe Connect. Marika's being patient. Hang in there for a minute, and then I'll do Marika and then go to the rest of the queue. One of the thoughts that I had on that, Steve, is that we do indeed have language in the report where we talk about a consensus view that this be done without delay. Or urgently, and have to go scurry off and find that piece of language. But as one way to address your concern, which, by the way, I share, we could elevate some of that language as well into this, as at least one way to address this. But let me run through the queue and we'll see sort of where we're at. Marika, you first.
Marika. This is Marika. 2 points, many, and as well, I think partly supporting what Steve was saying, because if you actually look at our conclusions on page 30, we're actually saying that there are no specific data protection issues that are specific to thin versus thick, and the same for the privacy concern, although we do recognize that there are broader issues. So the question, first of all, will be, what would that legal review specifically investigate if I think we already conclude that we're saying just looking purely at thin versus thick, we have not been able to identify any specific issues. And also, more on the sequencing, why would we recommend that the board request a legal review? Why wouldn't we just say, you know, the GNSO Council recommends that as part of the implementation there will be such a legal review? So it's more, and I think the same question applies when we go further down in the recommendations, but I can make that point there again. So that would be my 2 points. I think we're asking for something to be done. I think we should be very specific as what we are asking for, especially if it's something that ICANN staff is tasked to do. I think it doesn't address here what are the questions we're looking for, and especially if in the report we stated before that we actually found that there's no issues when it's just purely looking at the thin versus thick. And it also applies, again, to the bottom, you know, really being specific, what the issue is that is expected to be investigated, because, you know, privacy, as related to who is rather broad.
Yeah, I think it's this one that they're... And this may need to move down into the Section 30 portion. I took the GNSO change as friendly. I think that, again, I think Volker would take that as friendly, so I went ahead and did that one. Let's put that one on hold, take the rest of the queue, and then sort of see where we wind up. So, Tim, you're next.
Yeah, you know, I realize that we say in the report, you know, that we've determined there's no implications or issues on privacy between thin and thick. I will point out, though, that I don't know of anybody in this working group that's any kind of expert on those issues, and we have consulted, that I know of, any experts on those issues. So I can still see why some would feel that there may be some concerns. The whole privacy landscape is continually changing thing. We've seen that from registries that have requested waivers on certain aspects of who is to, registrars now looking, it looks like they'll be gearing up and requesting similar things, whether some have now or not. And I think that's going to continue to grow. And that isn't anything to say about, well, you know, what's changed in the legal landscape. So I think it's a very practical thing to say that we think that there should be some, you know, legal review, you know, somebody who knows the laws, looking at any possible implications in regards to this data transfer. I think that's a very reasonable thing to expect. I will say, though, that I think that for those who have concerns about whether we say this is before the transition occurs or not, I don't know if that needs to be said. I mean, when I think back to how the org transfer happened, it took months of preparation for that actually to occur. So I think, you know, we're looking at least at months in regards to this other transfer, maybe, you know, more months than it took before, because it was a much bigger data issue here. And in reality, there's actually probably more registrars, because there were a number of registrars, at least at one time, only offering Common Net. So I think during that preparation time, my feeling is there should be plenty of time to at least do a legal review of any implications that might need to be pointed out in the actual transfer of the data before the actual transfer can take place. So I don't think that we have to specifically say that, because I think there's going to be plenty of time for that to occur. I don't. My belief isn't that that legal review is going to take years. I think it could be done in a relatively short period of time.
Thanks, Tim. Roy, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, just checking. Thank you. I have a couple of observations to make. I agree 100% with Tim and what he just said. The language that Marika just read really doesn't reflect the feeling of all the members of this working group. And so I don't want to say that we need to go back and review that, but this is why we are now discussing this recommendation, to bring balance to that language. If we're going to move forward with the recommendation, then, in my opinion, the review should not be done. I mean, it should be more specific to the ones, rather than saying that ICANN is going to be the reviewer. It should be some kind of multi-stakeholder body that reviews the recommendation. And I agree with Tim, there should be real experts in privacy protection. Whether we add the word before to the language, that may not be necessary if we can agree in the rest of the language. Although, it will be with the understanding, by pure logic, that we had to do before. And I certainly don't believe that this will take months. I mean, the Article 29 Working Party, it took them a few days just to tell ICANN that there are issues with the RAA rules. And so I don't see any problem with it. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Roy. Armor, you're next.
Hi, this is Armor. Two quick points on both the issue of the legal review before or during, as well as Marika's earlier comment. First, regarding the legal review, there's a point of having it as part of the implementation process, but making sure that this is done before the transition actually takes place. The way I see it is that the purpose of this would be, as Mikey put it before, is to really investigate and mitigate the risks involved. And by that I mean legal implications and legal risks to perhaps both registrars and registrants in terms of registrants' legal rights. So that's why I think it is important to do this before the transition actually takes place, but as part of the implementation process. And that's why this particular point, when Steve sent some edits to both points 1 and 2, I said that I don't mind this being included as part of the implementation, but I don't see a reason why to remove the term before, because that really defeats the purpose, as far as I'm concerned, at least. On the first point that Marika made as well, that the working group members could not identify any risks on both data protection and privacy. That is true. That is in the report, and it is absolutely correct. However, the report also says that we lack the capacity to do so. And so asking for an issue report and perhaps an involvement of experts who would be qualified and capable of addressing these concerns, this would be something that I would personally think would go into the drafting of the charter, presuming that this issue report does move forward. So it's not that the report said we couldn't identify any risks and that's it. No, we did clearly say, and I think we all agreed on this, that we were not capable. We lacked the capacity to do this, and as one of the items that we were asked to to study the implications of in a transition of from thin to thick, I think it is the responsible thing to do, since we could not really provide a concrete analysis on the implications regarding privacy and data protection, then we should recommend that this be taken up on another PDP. Thanks.
Okay. Marika's got, I assume that's a new hand, Marika, right?
Yeah, it is Marika, that's correct. No. No, it's a new hand.
Okay.
Just one suggestion I would like to make is maybe to, in the first recommendation, to actually change a little bit of language around and actually move the, maybe the last sentence on the privacy implications of a transfer of registrant data between jurisdictions behind the legal, after legal review, so it's really clear what the legal review is about, and link those two together. And having a chat with having a conversation with Avery in the chat, and maybe someone can clarify our understanding or misunderstanding here, because we seem to disagree on whether in transition from thin to thick, whether any information is made public that before was actually held through either a privacy shield or a proxy service. My understanding has been in this conversation that any information that moves from a thin to a thick registry is that information that is already publicly posted by the registrar at a thin level. It would not include sharing of information that is held either through a proxy or privacy service that isn't currently publicly posted, but maybe someone can enlighten us in relation to this conversation whether indeed thin versus thick requires a transfer of information that is currently not publicly available or whether it doesn't.
Okay, Marika, I'm going to ask you and everybody to help me. I'm going to stop for a minute. I've note the queue building. Hang in there, folks. But I want to try and drive a few stakes into the ground here. And so if I miss something that you've mentioned, like the one that, that Marika just did, stand by to remind me. First thought is, what if we said, early in the implementation process, not insisting on before, but giving people a nudge, what if we added, starting with the general counsel's office, privacy experts and, just to tidy up the grammar, and the community, so that we get, you know, I think that the notion that we are needing privacy experts in the conversation is important, and it's not clear. That the that this phrase so what we could do let's see. What if we just replace this with this? See what happens. And along those lines. Okay. My memory is now purged. The nice thing about this is any of these ideas that I've just jammed in are easy to back out. Off to the queue. Tim, you're next.
Well, regarding the changes you made, I'm fine with those. On first read, I don't see an issue with anything. But I just want to make clear, you know, that the publicness, if you want to put it that way, of data is one issue. But, you know, the other issue is that having data public is one thing. You know, within the jurisdiction as a registrar that you've done it for so long, now all of a sudden, if they have to take that data that they've been responsible for and now move it to a completely different jurisdiction, that's what my concern is about, is understanding what, if any, implication there is in doing that at this point in time, because this point in time is different than the point in time we did it with .org. And we're not doing this with, you know, with registrars. I don't think we're going to go back and try to get every registrar to say okay, because that would be impossible. So this is going to be done without registrants, you know, approval. So I think, you know, there could be some implications in certain jurisdictions. Just because the data mean that it's necessarily okay for that registrar under their local laws to just pick up and give that data to somebody else. You know, that's two completely different things. Whether it's public now or not isn't the issue. It's who's responsible. And I know that, you know, in this world of this virtual world where, you know, because you view something, it's like you've downloaded it. But, you know, unfortunately, governments, lawmakers don't see things that way. They see it in a lot, many cases, as you're the holder of the data. Just because somebody else can look at it doesn't mean that that data is transferred in their minds. So these are the things that we've got to keep in mind. We can't just look at this strictly as, you know, computer geeks and policy geeks. I think there's other things here, and not always do lawmakers and governments always understand all of these things. So it's just, I think it's just a reasonable thing that we have this looked at. If it's, you know, while early in the implementation, before the implementation, while the implementation is going on, I don't care. But I think it's a reasonable thing to request here.
Thanks, Tim, and welcome, Don. I put you on an airplane to the ESSAC meeting in L.A., but I guess I was mistaken. It's great to have you on the call. Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I got to the airport earlier than I expected. To go to the question you raised a few minutes ago, it's my understanding, Tim is in the business, I hope he was going to step in here. It's my understanding that the same information would transfer, the same information is involved in Thick versus Thin Who Is. I'm not quite sure what this hidden information might be, but when you're dealing with the thick to thin, things like credit card information, financials, the business transaction details stay put.
Thanks, Don. I'm going to sort of take a checkpoint here. Oh, Tim's got his hand back up. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, just quickly, again, I don't think it's just about hidden data becoming unhidden. That's not the entire issue, because I maybe didn't explain very well, I guess. It's that data being held in the minds of lawmakers and governments, being held by one party, now moving to another party in a different jurisdiction. I think there's possible implications there, and it doesn't matter that that information is public and others can view it, because I know in our minds we understand that when they view it, they've downloaded it. So it's actually moved across jurisdictions. That's our understanding. That isn't necessarily the way lawmakers and governments view things. And so I just, you know, it's hard to find to see that distinction, but it's there. And I just want to make sure that it doesn't get missed.
Thanks, Kim. All right, so I want to take a checkpoint here. This, I think, was pretty good discussion.
Yeah, Mikey?
Something together. I'm not, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's a new hand here. Just You're absolutely right. You know, what Kim said is absolutely correct. But I just wanted to make sure that the specific answer to the question was put out there, and make sure that we weren't missing something or were addressing the concerns about hidden information. And curious about what that might be.
Can you reframe that? I'm not sure where you're going with that.
Okay, no. You know, I wanted, my comment was specifically to the chat between Marika and Aubrey. You know, Tim's absolutely right about the broader issues, but I want to make sure that it addressed the concern that some kind of secret information or different information is involved here than is involved in thick versus thin who is data movement.
Yeah, okay. So it sounds like we've got two issues that at least that this legal review needs to address. There may be more. I think that there are a couple of things that we'll probably need to do. We'll probably need to nail down a little bit more specifically than we have today what's in there. But I don't think that's going to be too hard to do. Kind of like a chartering thing. I want to get to the fundamental issue that Steve had early in the conversation. I see Steve's hand, so your timing is really good, Steve. And that is, I've snuck in a modification that does edge us towards a sequencing thing again. And so your timing's good, Steve. I was going to turn to you anyway and see if that's acceptable, not acceptable, whatever. Go ahead.
This is Steve. I actually wasn't going to address that. I was going to address your last comment that there are at least, that now there's, we've doubled the number of issues apparently that this legal review would undertake, and quote, there may be more, unquote. This is the problem that I was concerned about. We now have a mushrooming additional recommendation framed almost like a consensus policy that I think is offered by people who state very frankly that they are opposed to the transition to thick whois. And I think we are undercutting the work that so many people on this group have done in the last year, as well as in many cases previous years. I'm still quite disturbed by that. Thank you.
Yeah, I have to admit I got a little cranky on the last call. Too bad that we're dealing with this at this stage in the process. But nonetheless, that, you know, my view is that this is where we find ourselves, and we need to play it from here. I think that
Are we considering actually expanding it? I mean, when I read the recommendation, I don't read in there that we've doubled anything in there. I mean, we talked about some things, you know, in the queue, but, you know, that's just arguments about why we think, you know, some change here in some recommendation here is needed. But I don't see in the recommendation itself where we've doubled the number of issues. It still only says with respect to transition from a thin to thick environment, and I don't think we've expanded on that, so I'm not sure what Steve is concerned about there.
I think that where Marika, I think, would like us to go is to get more specific than that, although maybe that from thin to thick addresses her issue. Marika, your hand's up. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is, Marika. I think the with specificity, I think the part at the end, I think you changed the applicable laws, because I think before it said something else. But I mean, it needs to be specific. That is the transition that is supposed to be investigated. My comment was actually about, I think there's a word missing currently, talking about early in the implementation, I don't know if you want to say process there. And my other question relates to, I'm not really sure how this is envisioned, like a legal review that would involve the general counsel's office, privacy experts, and the community. I always thought that a legal review is basically carried out by legal experts, and that information is then, you know, provided back to whoever has asked for it. So I'm not exactly clear on what process is envisioned here or how we are expected to conduct that. If the intention is as part of the implementation process, we make sure that we consult experts in this area to make sure that there are no legal implications related to the requirement to require QoS for all GTLD registries. If that is the question, I think that is perfectly clear, and I don't see any major issues with that. But if there's something more foreseen here as a kind of community process or discussion, or if indeed there are other questions hidden in this that don't directly relate to the thin versus thick, I think either we need to spell them out, and either that belongs to be somewhere else. I think we're looking here at the specific implementation of going from thin to thick and making sure that there are no unexpected effects there or things that we didn't foresee from a legal perspective. I think that's obvious. I think the way it's currently written, it's not really clear what's intended or how that would work in practice, or whether we all have a common understanding of what it actually means.
Let's take a snapshot here. It's 5 till the hour. I want to get a sense of the group as to where we're at. I will get through the whole queue, I promise. Clearly, we're not done. We've got more conversation to go, but I guess where I'm interested, and maybe those of you in the queue can weigh in on this as you make your comment. Is this going in the right direction? Is this useful? Is this helpful? Or are we making things worse? Give me a kind of a grade on today's conversation. If we're moving towards consensus, I will smile. If I'm taking us further away, I will frown and act accordingly. Anyway. Carry on. Aubrey, you're next.
Okay, thank you. And I dialed in, so hopefully I am more easily heard this time. This is Aubrey Doria speaking. Since no one has said we can't hear you, I'll assume you can. To answer your question, with the phrasing on 7.1, I actually think we're heading in a healthy direction. First of all, I want to make a correction statement. I am against who is without equal protection for privacy. It is not that I am, in any set against a piece of technology one way or another. In terms of this, I think that when we say with the implementation of the transition to thick who is, I think that has to include understanding the privacy threat under thick who is. So while I think putting the word implementation there is problematic, it probably will be okay. Because how can you understand the new problems you get when you transition to something without understanding the state before and the state after? I think the General Counsel's Office consulting with privacy experts, and I think what we need to say is basically we're talking about both national and international privacy experts. I think we're talking to the privacy regulators of the various countries. In terms of, oh my God, they're heaping all kinds of new legal questions on us, what I have been accepting throughout this whole discussion was the statement that came out that, it is not within this group's capacity to do a full legal analysis of the liabilities and other privacy problem issues that may be incurred. And when, a statement comes out of, we've looked at it and there are none, is the point at which I'll respond with, well, but what's the situation with privacy services when you transition from one to another? Well, what's the issue with moving data from one country to another country that may end up publishing data that wasn't published before because there's no longer the same level of privacy service, or the privacy service needs to be paid in a different currency? That there's all kinds of things that we have not explored in terms of legal liabilities, in terms of what things change. And so that's what I'm saying. Now, in terms of whether it happens before or whether it happens during, as long as there's an end-to-end dependency, and for those that don't do project scheduling, by that I mean you do not make the switch to who is before you have fully understood that there are no threats or that those threats have been adequately mitigated. I mean, this is a process that, you know, ICANN has been learning over the last 3 years, is that there are threats that we don't understand when first we make policy, but then as we start to think about implementations, we realize, oh, my God, there are threats, and we need to mitigate them. So as long as there's an end-to-end dependency, I see no issue with, oh, does it happen at the same time? It's just that you don't go ahead with the starting gun to actually do anything until such time. So, yeah, I think it's heading in a healthy direction. I encourage us to continue working on this 7-1 statement. Thank you.
Thanks, Aubrey. Tim, you're next. Tim, you may be muted. Maybe not.
Okay, sorry about that.
Funny noises.
I just wanted to weigh in as you were asking for various views on it, and I support this change. It looks like the change has changed again, but in reading it, I would still support what it says with the new change. I'm losing track.
Pay no attention to where the P is under the... Amr, go ahead.
Hi, this is Amr. I also wanted to say that I think the language is so far it's looking good, and I hope that the same language would be reflected in the next point, in the second one. Also addressing Marika's earlier statement about the community being in the middle of that sentence, I think she might actually have a point there. If we are asking for a legal review, it might be we might want to specify that the experts are involved, and that seems to be the case. If you want to take the community out of that sentence, I think it would be all right as long as they are shifted towards the final recommendation and point number three, which I doubt we're going to get into today, because that's probably where the community's role is going to come in more in the issue report and the potential future PDP addressing privacy issues and who is. But well, we haven't gotten there yet. I understand that, so far I think the language in the third point still needs a lot of work. I personally support the earlier draft that was sent to the list by Mikey before the edits that Steve made. I thought that was all right. That was all right with me, and I was willing to support. I think I said this on the list. I was willing to go ahead and endorse a full consensus based on that, on these additions. I think we still need to get some work done on that. Those are just my thoughts. Thanks. And yes, we are headed in a good direction so far. So far, so good. Thanks.
Good deal. Thanks. Roy, you're going to get the last word. We are running just a little bit over the top of the hour, so I'm going to pressure you to be brief.
No problem. Thank you, Mikey. Just briefly to echo what Avery and Amor said, I think that we're going in the right direction, and I think the language is looking great. Thank you.
Thanks, Roy. Okay. I'm glad to hear that. It sounds like we've got a little more work to do. I am open to just waiting a week and doing this. I think that's the way we'll do it. We'll do it on the next call. It seems like we're at the stage now where we need the nimbleness of real-time conversation rather than the list. The list, I think, sometimes gets in our way. So I think desultory conversation on the list is fine. I'm not going to push us as hard to engage this week because I thought this was a good conversation as well. And so I will drive some changes into this based on some of the comments, and I'll probably listen to the transcript and pick some things out as well. But let's stay with it and see if we can get her done. Rika and Amr, gracious. If people have to drop off, go ahead. But Rika and Amr, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Rika. Mike, just a note that there are a couple of regulars that are actually not on the call today. I think it would be helpful if you actually maybe just circulate the language of the first paragraph, noting that based on the discussions, those modifications have been made, and maybe encourage them to either come to the next meeting or share their particular views on that specific item, because I think we do need to be conscious that we do have some people that are not here today for conflicts or other meetings they're attending.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. That was sort of my plan. Amr, go ahead.
Hi, this is Amr. Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot to address one thing. It's not in the language of the text we're looking at, but the concern Steve and Alan raised regarding last-minute delays to implementation because of a stakeholder group that is, in principle, opposed to any violations of privacy and perhaps also a transition to who is. I just wanted to say, on the record, I think it's understandable that they feel this way. And I personally don't blame them, but I would like to, for my part, give reassurance that this is not any underhanded attempt to undermine the work that the working group has been doing over the past, well, the better part of a year. And I really appreciate the work that has been done. And I am just trying to reach a recommendation that reflects the language that has been developed over all this time and with all the effort put into it. And to be frankly honest, I only read the PDP manual recently as part of my homework for another working group. And the idea of recommending an issue report is not something that I thought it's just not something that occurred to me until Avery pointed out a few weeks ago. And without this sort of recommendation, which I now completely endorse, I thought it would have been pretty understandable that we would not opt to provide a full consensus and sort of give a minority statement expressing our views and our concerns that have not been addressed in the recommendations. If the recommendation is simply, yes, we think the working group thinks that we should go ahead and transition from thin to thick, and yes, there were privacy issues, we couldn't address them, oh well. So I just wanted to put that on the record and try for my part to reassure Steve and Alan as much as I could that this is really not an attempt to impede implementation efforts based on the recommendations. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. I think that's it for the call. One suggestion that you may want to try out is if we can figure out language that goes into the recommendation that makes that clear. I think that would be helpful. I think that's where Steve, I'm sort of channeling Steve here, but I think that's what he's trying to accomplish, is to head that off. And my idea is that we do have language in the report that says, with all due urgency, all due speed, we might be able to yank that up into this somehow and add that concept to it, and that might be helpful. Wow. Sorry we went so long over. I hope this was useful, helpful. It sounds like it was at least a step in the right direction. We'll carry on and see you in a week. Thanks, all. That's it for me.
Thanks.
I'm going to tell you, and I'll start the recording.